Good prayer, and certainly thankful to hear the blessing. And just, I couldn't help but think, Brother Lee, that's kind of cruel and unusual punishment on Brother David's part, and I think you owe him one somewhere down the road. But certainly thankful for the Lord's blessings, and we missed everybody last Sunday, but thankful to be back here, back home. And if you have your Bibles and want to turn with me this morning, we'll be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We will read the latter few verses of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and a couple of verses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. One thing that we always want to keep in mind as we read God's Word is that the verses and chapter delineations in God's Word, they're not inspired. They are there for our reference, and they help us keep up with passages, memorize passages. But we're going to read the latter part of chapter 2 and on into chapter 3 because I think we have a connected thought here as we read the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 17, Paul writes, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." Verse 19, he asks, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." In chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul says, "Wherefore then, we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." The Apostle Paul continues his wonderful love letter to this church in Thessalonica. As you remember in our studies, we've noted several times now that the Apostle Paul, as he was led by the Spirit, went and preached the gospel in this area for some three Sabbaths, and very quickly there were those that embraced the teachings of Jesus Christ, and then there were those that opposed them, and they brought up rabble into the city, and Paul and his brethren had to flee from Thessalonica to Berea. But as we've seen throughout this letter, even though the Apostle Paul was only there for a short period of time, God blessed abundantly. And Paul's heart was knit with these people. He had a great love and had a great desire for them. And Paul here in the latter part of chapter 2 references that he still has this great desire to be with them, but he was hindered. And he says specifically, Satan hindered us. So I want us to look with the Lord being our helper this morning, and I want us to talk about the devil a little bit this morning. We need to understand that he is indeed a real being that exercises power in this world, but we understand from Scripture that his power is limited. But I think it does us well to understand that there is a force at work in our world that hinders us from time to time. But to just give you a preview of the end, his power is limited by the power of the sovereign, almighty, omnipotent God. Satan is real. We understand that. The Old Testament writers, many of them, wrote about the devil. Jesus Christ himself was confronted by the devil. We see that he was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Jesus had some things to say about the devil. Jesus said that he is a liar and the father of lies. He says that he was a murderer from the beginning. So we have Jesus being tempted by the devil, Jesus giving some apt descriptors about the devil. There are many New Testament writers that write of the devil. We have already read what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, but Peter wrote about our adversary, the devil. James wrote about the devil. Jude wrote about the devil. And again, we see in the Gospels that there is a lot about the devil. Well, this morning, I really don't want to dive into the background of the devil. And I've been doing a lot of this lately, and I think the older I get, the more I realize I don't know. If you want to know about the origins of the devil, talk to Brother David about that one. But what I'm going to talk about is how it impacts our life today as God's people, because Paul makes a very pointed and a very real statement about Satan and the existence of Satan and Satan and his ability to affect and hinder God's people. Paul says, I wanted to go back. I wanted to be there with you, but Satan hindered us. And that, the Satan was not just a figment of Paul's imagination. It wasn't just a piece of verbiage that was given to general obstacles and general difficulties along the way. Satan is a real being, and as we think about our labors in the kingdom of God, he is doing everything that he can to throw stumbling blocks, to throw obstacles before our labor in the service of God. And let me say this, he is very good at his craft. Yeah. Satan is not omnipotent like God is omnipotent. Satan is not omniscient. He does not know everything as God knows everything, but he's had many, many years to hone his craft. Ever since his introduction in the Word of God in the book of Genesis, he has been deceiving, he has been perfecting his craft, and I believe that as time goes by, he becomes more and more crafty. And for us as God's people this morning, there's a couple things we should understand. First of all, Satan cannot touch your eternal life. That's a blessing to think about. There is a vast majority of the rest of the religious world that thinks that Satan can pluck them out of the hands of God. He can't do that. His power is limited. We are eternally secure as children of God. No one can pluck us from the Father's hand. But the truth of the matter is, he can cause much chaos and he can cause much trial, much tribulation in our lives. And we as God's people need to be, the Bible says, we need to be aware of the wiles of the devil. I think about the Screwtape Letters. C.S. Lewis wrote the Screwtape Letters, and it's this allegorical type writing. I may not be using that term correctly, but in this piece of literature, it's a short read. It's letters from one head demon to his nephew demon that's coming up in the ranks of the demons. And in chapter 2, Screwtape writes to his nephew Wormwood, and he writes to him and chides him because of his young apprentice, his young nephew, the individual that his nephew was assigned to has become a Christian. And Screwtape writes his nephew in chapter 2, and he says, you know, I note with grave displeasure that your patient has become a Christian. He says, but there's no need to despair. Hundreds of these adult converts have been reclaimed after a brief sojourn in the enemy's camp and are now with us. He says, all the habits of the patient, both mental and bodily, are still in our favor. While the child of God cannot be plucked out of God's hand, Satan is still real. Satan is still casting stumbling blocks. He's still affecting the lives of us as God's children. And he is going to do everything that he can to cause us to doubt, to cause us to stumble, to cause us to stagnate as God's people. That is his purpose while he's here in this world. You know, I believe Satan understands God's word. Satan is a very wily being. I think he understands God's word, and there's part of me that wonders. And again, you can ask Brother David about this. I think there's part of me that thinks he understands how things are all going to end. But perhaps he's so prideful and so lifted up in himself that he's not aware that he's a defeated enemy. Well, either way, he is wreaking chaos in the lives of God's people. He's doing it today. You think of some of the names that are given to Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the prince of the world, the god of this age, the deceiver of the brethren. The Bible calls him the angel of light, the evil one. His sole purpose is to oppose the will of God, oppose the commandments of God, and try to get you to do the same thing. Now, Paul says, we desired to go, but Satan hindered us. I think of some of the verbiage in 2 Thessalonians. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul warns the church at Thessalonica regarding the return of the Lord. He says that they're not to be shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word. He warns them to let no, he says in verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, he says, except there come a falling away first, and that that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. He says here that before the Lord comes back, there's going to be a great deceiver that's going to come, and there's going to be, he says, there's a falling away. And he says that this man of sin will be revealed, this son of perdition. And notice the descriptors, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Paul says before the Lord comes back, there are many that are going to be deceived. And this points to an individual that's going to rise up and be deceived. Well, you say, well, who is that? Ask Brother David. But I will tell you this. The puppet master, the one that will be pulling the strings, will be Satan himself. Verse 5, he says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. He says in verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. He says, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Verse 8, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Notice verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Paul is saying here that Satan is real. Paul is saying before the Lord comes back, there's going to be many that are deceived. There's going to be a deceiver that's going to rise up. And while we can prognosticate about that, and that at the very best, we just can take a guess at that. But we see that the one that will be pulling the strings in all of this deception is Satan himself. And why is Satan engaged in this activity? Well, he is striving to oppose God's plan. He's striving to oppose God's people and serving and worshiping and honoring God. And I want to tell you, my friends, again, he is good at what he does. He has been working since the beginning of time. We see it in the Garden of Eden. And from that time on, he's continued to try to throw stumbling blocks before God's people. The good news for us as we see what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians is that he is not going to get the best of God. He is going to be defeated. He is going to be destroyed. But I want to tell you, as long as we're here in this world, he's going to be sowing discord amongst God's people. Well, how does Satan work? Well, he works in a variety of ways. You think about in your own life. How does Satan affect us? Satan sows seeds of doubt in our mind, doesn't he? He sows seeds of doubt. He whispers in our ears and encourages us to deny the commandments of God, to disobey the commandments of God. Satan deceives, doesn't he? He deceives God's people. He can deceive us through his trickery and his treachery. He can cause us to be distracted as God's people. My friends, he has a multitude of tools at his disposal that he uses with great power. He uses them with great skill. My friends, this is a present reality in our lives. Yeah. Paul said, we desire to come and be with you, but Satan hindered us. And let me say this, Satan is persistent. You know, as we overcome, you think about Jesus when he was in the wilderness. Satan tried to tempt Jesus. Did Satan just try one time and give up? No, Satan tried a multitude of tactics on our Savior. and just think about how many tactics he tries to use in our lives. Well, Brother Michael, if Satan is real, if he is sowing all of these seeds of discord amongst God's people, how do we fight that? How do we combat that as God's people? We combat it by leaning on Jesus Christ and leaning on the Word of God that he has given us. And when we read the Word of God and understand what the Bible says about Satan, you know, we get bogged down about thinking about where Satan came from. And you know, certainly that's an exercise of thought that we can spend our time in. But I think more valuable is how we counter this enemy in our lives. Well, first of all, the Bible talks about some of the characteristics of Satan. Well, what does he do? Well, he tries to obstruct God's people. He tries to oppose God's people. He also really tries to confuse God's people. Let's go back to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let's look at the situation that Paul is referencing here. He says, "But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire." Now, Paul uses a phrase here that's an interesting phrase. Paul says at the beginning of this verse, in verse 17, he says, "We were taken from you." You know, it was not Paul's desire just to preach unto them for a few weekends and leave. But he uses this term that's really carries the meaning of someone that's been snatched away, someone that's been kidnapped. It's the concept of a child being taken away from their parent. In other words, someone is taken from a situation due to something that was not of their own doing. Paul says, "We were taken from you, and it was not of our doing." That it was the devil that was working, and Satan was working, that caused this chaos. You know, you think about what was happening on the surface in Acts chapter 17. There were those of the Jews that were provoked to great jealousy, and the Bible says that they sought out lewd fellows of a baser sort. They stirred up a rabble in that town. We see all of that going on, but what was going on in the background? Well, Satan was working, wasn't he? There was, as Paul would say in Ephesians chapter 6, there was spiritual wickedness in high places. And we ought to understand that about our country and our society today. When we turn on the news, we see events that are going on, and we see evil men that are acting. We see chaos, and we see confusion. Understand in the background that there is spiritual warfare going on. And understand that Satan is working in the background. You know, you think about what the Bible says in, I believe it's Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Paul says to the church at Ephesus, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." He tells them to put on the whole armor of God. Why? "That ye may be able to withstand against the wiles of the devil." Well, why is that, Paul? Verse 12, he says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." There was a spiritual battle going on behind the scenes. When you pull back the curtain, Satan was actively working to hinder the cause of Christ in Acts chapter 17. And when you turn on the news and you see wicked men acting, Satan and his emissaries, they are working. There is a spiritual warfare going on that's affecting the hearts and the minds of men and women in this world. Yeah. Talks about spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan has emissaries in all areas of our society. Yeah. You just think about it, just along the lines of just the ruling powers of our nation. You think, well, we've got two major political parties. Well, you think along. Satan is working on both ends of that spectrum, my friends. He's got spiritual wickedness in high places. You say, well, I belong to this party, but I see this corruption. I see people making poor decisions. I see people doing things that are ungodly. Well, There's spiritual wickedness in high places, whether you have an R by your name or a D by your name. There's spiritual wickedness in high places in corporate America. People talk about corporate corruption. Well, Satan is good at doing his job. Paul says we need to be aware of the spiritual battle that's going on around us, and Satan is waging war. He says here, we were taken from you. He says, we were taken from you. We were only with you for a short time. Notice verse 18. He says, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. Paul said, I wanted to come and be with you again. Can you imagine, I think about this as a minister of the gospel. There's places where I've gone that I desire to go back again. and certainly this church here, my desire is to come back again and again because I love you and I'm thankful for the fellowship we have. Well, Paul had this great love, but he said, Satan hindered us. Now, when Paul uses the term hinder here, This is a term that has a few different definitions. The word hinder here, if you go back to the ancient Greek, part of it had a military connotation. Had a military connotation where one army will turn around and cut off another army, will flank an opposing army. If you'd study anything about ancient war, civil war, you hear about one colonel outflanking another colonel and an army flanking another army and overrunning them. This carries that term. Satan hindered us. He ran interference in our plans. It's also an athletic term about, when somebody's running, you think about the Olympic Games and individuals that run track. Sometimes somebody will get in somebody else's lane. He's saying here that Satan got into our lane. Something that would apply to us, if you drive on the interstate, every once in a while somebody will veer over in your lane and cut you off. Paul is saying here, this is how Satan hindered us. It's also a construction term. It means to destroy and tear up something. In other words, Paul is saying that Satan, he hindered us in that he opposed what we wanted to do. He drifted over into our lane and he cut us off. He tried to destroy and tear up what we wanted to do. And isn't that an apt descriptor of Satan? He's always opposing us as we try to serve God. I think about, Paul when in Romans chapter 7, he talks about that conflict between the flesh and the spirit. Well, Satan will take advantage of that flesh part of us and oppose those things which are pleasing to God. And Paul would say, when I would do good, evil is present with me, and Satan is there to capitalize and to help with that. Over and over he will oppose. We've talked a little bit about opposition. One characteristic of Satan as well is confusion, isn't it? Wherever there is confusion in this world, you can bank on Satan being there. So there's something to think about. When there's confusion in our world, Satan is in the midst of that. Well, Brother Michael, how do you know that? Well, the Bible tells us that God is not the author of confusion. Paul would tell that to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, about verse 30. He would say that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. You think about the confusion that surrounds our society today. Now, in Paul's time, as he was writing the church at Corinth, you had individuals in that church that were blessed with spiritual gifts, but there was chaos and confusion in the church. And this focused around tongues that individuals were speaking from. Paul says that what you're doing here is chaos and confusion, and it's not of God. He's not the author of confusion. There's always confusion swirling around the devil. There's always opposition. God, our God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. He's a God of order. He would later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 say, let all things be done decently and in good order. I want to tell you, my friends, that if you're lying, we're all going to have confusion from time to time.
But if your life is characterized by confusion and chaos and disorder, be aware that Satan is working. We need to understand that. What comes when we, as we strive to walk with the Lord, there's going to be seasons of difficulty, seasons of confusion, but seasons of trial. But God works orderly. God is not a God of confusion, but a God of peace. And we need to understand the confusion in our times to understand that's not of God, that's of Satan.
Amen.
Say, well, Brother Michael, Satan opposes. He destroys. He tries to outflank us. He tries to confuse us. He sows confusion around us. Where is God in the midst of all of this? Well, the good news is God has not gone anywhere. He is still on His throne. He is still ruling and He is still reigning, even in the midst of Satan being active in this world. That's a wonderful blessing to think about. We, on Wednesday nights, I want to encourage you, if you're not coming to Wednesday nights, to try to make the effort to come out. We're looking at some of the characteristics and attributes of God. Well, we've looked at the will of God. We've looked at the omniscience of God. And one of the common threads through all of that is that God's will be done whatever else happens in this world. God is still on His thrones. My friends, we don't believe in the Star Wars theology, do we? I like Star Wars. I like science fiction. I like the tension in the Star Wars movies between the light and the dark side. But let me understand, that is science fiction. That is not reality. There is nothing left up in the air as far as who is in control in this world. Our sovereign God does whatsoever He pleases in this world. We need to understand that. Well, how does Satan fit into all this? Well, anything that Satan does in this world, it's because God suffers him to do it so. Well, Brother Michael, does that make God the author of sin and confusion? No, it doesn't make Him the author. He suffers it to be so, but here's the wonderful blessing. The will of God will be done, whatever machinations, whatever devices Satan may try to contrive in this world. Job understood that, didn't he? Job was one that God suffered Satan to interfere in the life of Job. And Job got to the point where he was questioning God, and you know, everywhere that Job looked, he said he could not find God. But Job understood this truth that God was the one that was in charge.
Yeah.
Remember in Job chapter 23 and verse 10, my mind just keeps coming back to this area. Maybe I need to hear it, but what a wonderful blessing. Job says, you know, although I can't see God, he says, but He knoweth the way that I take, and when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Satan is limited. Satan is on a leash in this world. He is not running free. He is subservient to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We've seen it in the life of Christ. When Jesus spoke, the demons fled, didn't they?
Right.
They obeyed the commandments of God. But the reality is, while we're here in this world, we still have to struggle with Satan. The Bible calls him the prince of the power of the air. He is still affecting our lives. But here's the wonderful truth that we need to understand. Satan's hindrances cannot oppose the will and the plan of God. Now you think about this in light of the Apostle Paul. In Paul's specific circumstance, he says, we wanted to go, but Satan hindered us. Well, what happened in this hindrance? Well, God's will was still done, wasn't it? Well, what happened in Paul's life? Well, God inspired Paul to write many of the books that we read in the New Testament in lieu of this. He wrote 1 Thessalonians. He wrote 2 Thessalonians. Paul was inspired by God to write the letter to the Colossians, the Philippians, the Ephesians. He wrote his letters to Timothy. You see, Paul said Satan hindered us, but the purpose of God, the will of God, was not hindered in the process. You and I may be hindered in this world by the devices of Satan, but God is never hindered by the work of Satan. That's a wonderful blessing to think about, isn't it?
Yeah.
We can think about our lives in that lens. What a wonderful blessing. Oh, you know, Satan can whisper in my ear and cause doubts and cause confusions. And there's times where I feel like I'm losing the battle, but God is not hindered. That's what the Word of God teaches. He might hinder us, but He will not stop God. That's a blessing, isn't it? You know, God will allow trials and tribulations in our lives, but with the trials of God, there's always a purpose and a direction, isn't it? You think about Job. You know, God never explained Himself to Job, but God, there was purpose and direction in God's will, wasn't it? And you think about our trials and tribulations. We stumble along the way and we have difficulties and Satan will hinder us. There's trials that may come by God. God's trials come with directions. Satan tries to oppose and hinder the will of God, but he is going to fail every time in thwarting the will of God.
Yeah.
That's a wonderful blessing to think about, isn't it? In Acts chapter 16... we get a wonderful illustration of this as Paul was going, as he was led by the Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 16, we have Luke writing about the travels of the Apostle Paul. Verse 6, he says, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia," verse 7, "after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not." You know, and this is a picture of how God works. He says, "And they passing Mysia came down to Troas." In verse 9, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.'" Sometimes God will put hindrances in what we do. Some, you know, the Spirit of God. I've had personal experiences in my life where I wanted to do one thing, but the Spirit of God led me another direction. Well, when the Spirit of God acts, there's always a specific purpose to it, isn't there? Well, what was the purpose here? They wanted to go one direction. They were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to go that direction and went to another direction. This happened on a couple of occasions. Well, God's purpose in that was he had a people in Macedonia, the Gentiles, that he wanted Paul to go preach the gospel to them. That's how God works. Now, Satan will try to oppose. Satan will instead of... Satan works with the fiery darts, doesn't he? You know, he's not trying to do the will of God. He's going to push you far from the will of God. And when you find your heart and your mind straying from God's word, that's not God, that's Satan. And we need to remember that. So what are some of Satan's tactics? Well, remember that God is for you and Satan is against you. Well, what are some of Satan's tactics that he uses? Well, Satan works in hindering us. We've noted some generalities, but Satan will try to tell you, no, God doesn't have your best interests at heart. Have you ever found yourself in that condition? You ever been faced with a crossroads in your life and you say to yourself as you have your internal dialogue or whatever, I know what the Bible says, but that really doesn't seem to be what's in my best interest. That's not God. That's Satan. You know, have there been times in your lives where Satan has tried to dredge up your former challenges, your former sins, your former trials and former difficulties? One of the titles of Satan is the accuser of the brethren. I'm so thankful that as a child of God, we have been forgiven of our sins. And what a wonderful blessing that God doesn't pull out the filing cabinet of our sins and of our difficulties in our service to God. Do you ever have those thoughts that come back? You're zealous to serve the Lord, but all of a sudden something is brought up in your past and you think, well, this is what I'm about. Well, I want to tell you, as a child of God, God doesn't pull out the old filing cabinet. He doesn't pull out the hard disk of all the mistakes that you've made. That's Satan. God doesn't do that. Our sins have been paid for by the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Satan's tactics as well is to cast a shadow of doubt on the hope that we have as a child of God. You ever think, there is no way I can be a child of God? The thoughts that I have, the difficulties that I have, there is no way. That's not God, that's Satan. We have hope as we sing that wonderful hymn. My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. God gives us hope in our journey. Hope in the midst of our trials. Job, even at his lowest point, he was hoping in the work of a sovereign God.
Right.
Satan hinders us when he puts temptation and puts difficulties before us. God, in the midst of the trials that he suffers in our lives, is for a purpose, to strengthen us, to bring glory unto him. And let me tell you this, child of God, the wonderful blessing, and this just isn't some rose-colored glasses theology. The wonderful blessing is that for the child of God, when we recognize the opposition of and challenges that Satan is posing in our lives, it should underscore to us that we are indeed God's children. Who is Satan trying to oppose? Is Satan trying to oppose the individual that's just living it up in the world with no spiritual cares whatsoever?
No.
Is Satan trying to hinder those that are just doing whatever they want to out in the world? He's already got them. He's leaving them alone. When we see the difficulties, when we recognize Satan is the one that's whispering doubts in our ears, that's trying to sow seeds of doubt as far as the truth of God's word, that ought to underscore the point that God is working in our lives as well. You know, recognizing that there's a spiritual battle is a wonderful blessing, that you have some spiritual understanding. And if we have spiritual understanding, it's because we have spiritual life that was given to us by the Spirit of God, and we're God's children. Paul said, we wanted to come, but Satan hindered us. And notice what he goes on and says. Verse 19, he says, for what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Paul says Satan hindered us from coming. And I believe that Paul in his letter is also alluding to that Satan is trying to hinder them in their worship of God, hinder them in their spiritual growth, hinder them in their walk with the Lord here in this world. You know, Satan's hindering Paul and Paul's cohorts to go back there, but he's hindering that church as well. He's saying to them, Satan is real. This is going on, but what a wonderful blessing to know that our hope is not grounded in the circumstances of this life. Paul doesn't write to them that Satan's hindered us and I am mad and I'm just don't know anywhere else to go and just in such distress and everything is ruined. No, Paul speaks about hope and joy and a crown of rejoicing. And what was it? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Paul is saying that these difficulties, these demonic hindrances that are going on, they're a testimony that you are of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a blessing to think about, isn't it? Life can get messy. Brother David talked about labor. Now I'm thankful for the labor of Christ Jesus on the cross to pay our eternal debt. You know, there's work for us to do as children of God. We're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called. But it's hard work and there's opposition that comes along the way. When you feel like you're getting bogged down, remember what Paul says here. He says, in spite of these difficulties, we have joy, we have hope, we have a crown of rejoicing. We are in the presence of the Lord as his people. Paul wasn't using that as some far-off future promise to them. That was a right-now promise. He says, right now, you are in the presence of the Lord. Satan may hinder, but God's will be done. The Lord has not left you. The Lord has not forsaken you. The Lord is with you, and He's coming back someday to take you home to be in His presence forevermore. Well, as Paul goes on very quickly, in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "Wherefore then we could no longer forbear. We thought it good to be left at Athens alone." Paul says that, you know, we wanted to come, we were hindered, but here we are at Athens. Verse 2, he says, "And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith." Satan thought, well, I've hindered the Apostle Paul now. This work is going to be done. This work is fizzled out. I've made an end to this. No, we see that the will of God was not thwarted. Paul says, we're hindered in going, but we're going to send Timothy. We're going to send Timothy, and he's going to establish you. He's going to comfort you concerning the faith. We see another big tactic of Satan. Satan does not want you to grow in your walk with the Lord. He does not want you to grow in your discipleship. And that was Paul's heart. Paul's concern was for this church to grow in their understanding of the Lord and in spiritual maturity. And he was hindered, but we see that the Lord made another way with the young minister, Timothy. Satan had one plan. It did not hinder the will and purpose of God. God made a way to minister unto this church. My friends, God will make a way for us as well as His people. Satan is real. Satan is powerful. He can deceive. He can practice subterfuge. He can cause chaos, but he cannot overpower the will of God. That's a wonderful blessing to think about. And here is the reality, my friends, when we think of it from an eternal perspective, he's going to get his due someday. While we're here in this world, he's going to continue to refine his art. He's going to continue to hone his craft, but he's never going to get the better of God. And the Word of God teaches us, and this is why we have to read and study God's Word, all of God's Word. You go to the end of God's Word, we see He's going to be defeated. His minions, they're going to be cast into the lake of fire. They're going to be totally destroyed one day. The ending is not left up to chance or who's the most powerful. That is established. The sovereign God over all is the one that rules. Now the wonderful blessing again is when Satan tries to affect our lives, the Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He is limited. He is limited by a sovereign, all-powerful, almighty God. He may hinder us along the way, but what a wonderful blessing. God is able to give grace and give us strength in the midst of those challenges. May we be emboldened. May we be empowered as we live our lives here in this world to understand that in the midst of spiritual wickedness, we can grow and we can become stronger in our walk with the Lord and in our discipleship. May the Lord add His blessing.
Amen. Amen. Turn to 343. There is not one month that goes by that I don't answer this question. Well, I know that I can't take myself out of the love of God, but Satan